We had the final vote after 5 months of a very grueling rulemaking process. Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission commissioners voted to approve a whole suite of new rules to enact the mission, their new mission as set forward by the Senate Bill SB 181. And this was a piece of legislation that changed the COGCC's mission to protect the health and safety and environment of Colorado before fostering oil and gas development as their primary purpose. You know, that piece of legislation set forward this entire process of rewriting all of the rules that the COGCC operates under to reflect the new mission to prioritize public health and safety first. And today we concluded that process with this suite of new rules designed to help protect Coloradans living next to oil and gas development and to further safeguard the environment from the impacts of oil and gas.
It looks like there were some major wins for citizens groups and environmentalists who have been really lobbying the COGCC for months now. There is now a 2,000-foot setback between all new oil and gas facilities in homes, schools, and other high-occupancy buildings. Every person who is affected by natural gas and oil drilling has standing in terms of being involved with the COGCC. There is a prohibition on venting and flaring, and the state sets the regulatory floor. Can you give us some details about the 2,000-foot setback and the regulatory floor?
So the fact that we now have a very clear mandate from the COGCC that they have kind of the final authority to set these rules for public health and safety means that while local governments have local permitting authority, which was also passed under the piece of legislation, they still have to meet the state minimum protections. So the rules that were just passed today apply everywhere throughout the state of Colorado, wherever you live, and regardless if your local government would maybe prefer to see those rules look a little bit different, they still have to meet this basic level of protection across the entire state of Colorado. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. There are some local governments who have been trying to say they have the ability to write different rules, and they do have local government permitting authority, but they still have to meet the same level of protection as the rules that were just passed.
Well, I'm wondering, Emily Hornbeck, how this will affect Terra, used to be URSA, but Terra Energy's Battlement Mesa Pad A application, because it is definitely not 2,000 feet away from homes.
Yeah, it's barely 500 feet away from some homes. So it is our hope that the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission will apply these rules in the spirit of the SB 181 and Mission Change Rulemaking to a pad. That pad is partially approved, but it is not fully approved. And it is very clear to us that the a pad proposal in Battlement Mesa is exactly the type of proposal that these new rules have been trying to prevent. And, you know, that the folks who are living in Tamarisk Village still deserve these protections, even though this APAD proposal was approved in the 11th hour of the Hickenlooper administration and kind of hoisted in front of everybody before this rulemaking process could get going. So it is our hope and the hope of Battlement concerned citizens that these new rules will be applied to APAD in the spirit of protecting all Coloradans from the negative impacts of oil and gas development.
Well, when URSA applied for a permit extension from the Garfield County Commissioners, they did say that these new rules would apply to the APAD.
I'm glad to hear them say that, and I'm curious how they're going to make that proposal compliant with some of these protections. We look forward to having that conversation, both with Terra and whoever the new owner of APAD will be, and with the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission as they decide what to do with this contentious permit.
Getting back to the COGCC new rules, there were some extensive wildlife protections. Can you give us some detail on that?
Yes. You know, for our organization, one of the biggest things we were working to accomplish in the wildlife section, because although the 2,000-foot setbacks deservedly got a lot of attention, you know, there were a lot of other things that happened in these rules. We literally rewrote everything from notice requirements to environmental justice language to, you know, what's happening with wildlife habitat and wildlife protections. And, you know, in Western Colorado, we do have places where oil and gas development comes up against people's homes. And also we have vast amounts of land that are being drilled that have more impacts on our wildlife habitat and on the critters. So the wildlife rulemaking that just concluded today was also something we felt really invested in, especially to win riparian setbacks to move oil and gas facilities further away from waterways. This is especially important to folks in Battlement Mason Parachute, you know, after we saw the 2013 Parachute spill that had, you know, hundreds of gallons of hydrocarbons, and, you know, leak into the Parachute Creek, which is a tributary to the Colorado River. And APAT itself is also very close to the Colorado River. So we felt really invested in trying to move facilities further away from surface water. You know, we did get a 300-foot setback from riparian zones and a number of other things to really better protect the wildlife habitat and, you know, the important recreation-based economy that wildlife and hunting provides in Western Colorado.
Can you talk about the environmental justice issues and how these new rules will affect that?
Right. So these rules are groundbreaking in a number of ways, but specifically it's the first time the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission is even adopting language around the concept of environmental justice, which is the idea that certain communities are often impacted more by oil and gas or other industrial or pollution-creating industries, whether that's based on their race or ethnic group or possibly their income. And for us, you know, the APAD proposal is actually a huge injustice of this concept. It is, you know, the APAD proposal is placed next to a low-income community, number of Spanish speakers in that community who are most directly impacted. And, you know, the real clear example of, you know, dangerous industrial proposals being placed next to communities who are not always equipped to engage in the public process to ask them to be located somewhere else. So this was a baby step, but an important step in acknowledging that environmental justice is a concept that the commission needs to honor, and they need to take into consideration the disproportionately impacted communities and do more to ensure their voices are heard in this permitting process in terms of making sure that they're receiving notices in their, you know, language that they can read and speak and have translation available at commission hearings. And, you know, there's more to be explored within this topic for sure, not just within the COGCC, but across the entire state government to ensure that disproportionately impacted communities, you know, not only have a voice in this process, but we as a whole understand that the placement of facilities often happen in low-income communities, and we need to do a better job of protecting all Coloradans, regardless of their identities.
Now that these rules have been passed and the conditions of Senate Bill 181 have been met, what's the next step?
There are a couple other rulemakings to kind of come about as a result of this conversation we've been having with the commission. You know, especially in this COVID economy and the bust that's happening across the oil and gas fields right now as the demand for oil and gas has dropped so low, is really coming up this issue of abandoned and orphaned wells, making sure that we have a plan as a state, you know, to not only deal with the legacy of orphaned and abandoned wells that already exist, but also for the new wave of those things that might be coming our way. So in the coming year, we expect there to be another process to create better rules for financial assurances, for making sure that, you know, taxpayers aren't being left with a cleanup bill as oil and gas companies go bankrupt, but also that there's an active plan to clean up and remediate and reclaim land that has been impacted by the industry.
Well, Emily Hornback, Director of the Western Colorado Alliance, thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you, Amy.